Yeah.
God is good. He really is. He really, really is. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you are here. We thank you for your love for us. We thank you that you are good all the time. There is never a time when you're not good. And we thank you for your goodness this morning, that we are going to just bask in your goodness, and we are going to give you all that you paid for. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I want to share out of Hebrews 11. I'm going to touch a little bit on Samuel 17. But we're going to start on Hebrews 11. Before I just go on, I just want to share a couple of things. I like to share testimonies. I haven't done a lot of that since I've been here because I really felt that the Lord had a different, the message that I had for the women of New Zealand was quite a different one. But I just want to share a couple because this morning we want to go after healing as well. If anybody needs any healing in their bodies, we're going to go after healing. But I just want to share a couple of testimonies. I'm actually a leader in the healing rooms at Bethel Church in Redding, California, and we get to see God do some incredible stuff. We've seen it all. You know, Jesus is healing today. You know, we get to travel the world and we go to some places where people don't actually believe that Jesus is the healer. He is. And he's healing people today. We've had the absolute pleasure. Just, it's such an honor. You have no idea to be in a place where you see such a move of God, where you see him turning up and healing people in their hour of need. And you know, it says in the Bible, you know, that all that came to Jesus got healed, and we're going after that. We don't see all get healed, but we see a lot of people get healed. You know, as we become more like Jesus every day, we see more and more get healed. And someday, and I declare very soon, we will see all get healed. You know, and because that's God's heart, you know. So we continue to go after that. I'll just share a testimony. I'm not going to share a testimony from Bethel, but I just want to show you the impact that, you know, just what God is doing is having all over the world. I don't always want to share a testimony from Bethel Church. I want to share what God is doing elsewhere. So I was in England a couple of months ago, and on a Sunday morning service like this, I was speaking in a church. We'd been there. We'd been doing a healing conference for 4 days. And on a Sunday morning service like this, I'm speaking, and a lady gets up and she comes to the front and she pulls something out of her ear. She goes, "I don't need this anymore." So she, I had no idea because she had her hair was over her ears, and she had she removed her hearing aids, and she came and she gave them. She says, "I don't need this anymore. I can hear." And I went, "Your ears are completely open." I said, "I didn't even know that you were deaf." She goes, "Yes, I was in both ears." She removes the hearing aids. She didn't need them anymore. So I was like, "Thank you, Jesus." And we begin to give thanks. And I continued speaking. And another gentleman gets up and he comes up. He goes, "I don't need this anymore." And he pulls out his hearing aids and he puts it down. I'm like, "Huh. Okay, that's number two." And then I continued speaking. And another woman said, like, stand up. She goes, "I don't need my hearing aids anymore. I can hear." And I was like, "Three?" So I said, "Okay, how many people here need healing?" More people stand up. I think in all there was 13. We prayed. We just got the people that are standing next to them just laid hands, and we just released healing. We just released the grace of God. And 12 out of 13 get healed. Fully, 12 people. The one person that wasn't healed that in the morning was a young boy in the evening service. Jesus just shines on him and he gets healed. He gets his hearing. So in a 24-hour period, we saw 15 deaf ears open. That's the goodness of God. 15. In fact, where were we? We were here and we saw 12. We were in Christchurch, right? In Christchurch, we actually saw 12. And every time I go somewhere, I release this same testimony. I actually see 12 ears open. I'm believing there's not 12 here this morning. But I just wanted to share that just to give you a taste of what God is doing. This morning, I'm going to speak on supernatural faith. And Hebrews 11. You know, I liked what Lloyd shared this morning. He says, it is good to live in the kingdom of God. And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, actually, the All Blacks are living in the kingdom of God this morning. But actually, the Lions aren't. Like, England isn't living in the kingdom of God this morning. Oh, Jesus. I just thought I'd ask the Kiwis to pray for the England rugby team. Would you be up for that? We need your help. We need an impartation. Maybe borrow us a couple of your guys. Is that a lot? No? Well, if you don't ask, you don't know, right? It is good to live in the kingdom of God. And you know, the Bible says the kingdom of God is at hand. This is how far the kingdom of God is. You know, sometimes we think the kingdom of God is up here, but the kingdom of God is all around us. You know, God, he created the heavens for himself and he created the earth for us. But his heart is that earth becomes like heaven. And who's going to do that? We are. We are. So when we are not releasing the kingdom of heaven to be like earth, we're not actually living the fullness. We're living in a place where we are supposed to co-create with God. The things that come out of our mouths, we're meant to co-create when we speak. Because we are made in the image and likeness of God. And when God created the world, he spoke the world into being. And we are supposed to co-create, but sometimes we've used our mouths to say stuff that are not actually co-creating with God. You know? And when we speak, we are supposed to see a difference. Creation is meant to respond. Like when God said, let there be light. Light had no choice but to shine. So when you speak, creation should go, oh my goodness, a son or a daughter just spoke. I'm attracted to that word, and there's a shift. And that's what faith is like. That's faith right there. But it's not faith in what we say. It's not faith in our words. It's faith in Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Or the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. It's not faith if we can see it. It's faith if we don't see it, but we believe it's going to happen. You know? That's the power of faith. It's like, actually, I don't see it, but I'm simply going to believe. And a lot of the time, we do have a problem with simply believing, simply trusting that God is who he says he is. That actually, if I trust and I don't see it, I'm going to get disappointed. God's going to let me down. We have this thing where we don't actually always believe that God will actually come through for us. So a lot of the time we end up doing things for ourselves. We end up having faith in us. We end up having our faith. And we live life through our faith. And as a result, we make our own decisions, not actually partnering with God. But we have faith in ourselves that my decision is going to be the right one. And then when it goes wrong, we're like, God, where are you? You're supposed to help me. But actually, you didn't invite him in to help you make the decision. You made it yourself. Because there isn't faith that he will come through for you. You know, the Bible in Hebrews 11 is known as the hall of faith. It talks a lot about great people. It talks a lot about people like Abel and Enoch and Noah. It also says this in Hebrews 11. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's will. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith must explore what revelation reveals. In Hebrews 11:5, it says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. We can't please God if we don't believe. And Jesus had so much faith that he prayed like this, Father, thank you that you hear me. Thank you that you always hear me. and that was it. How simple. How much faith is in that? Massive faith. Because he's not waiting to see it. He believes that when he opens his mouth and he goes, Father, he hears. He multiplies the loaves and the fishes by faith. He didn't wait to see that there was enough bread to feed 5,000 and enough fish to feed before he says, actually go out and give. He says, just go and share. And the multiplication happened by faith as they shared. Because what he just already prayed. He just already went, Dad, we have 4,000 people to feed, but thank you that you're the God of abundance. Now share. And they have so much leftovers, and if they continued sharing, they would have fed more if more came. Because God multiplies, he doesn't wait for us to see it. He just wants us to believe. By faith, we understand that the ages were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Enoch, Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, hallelujah, ladies, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. Yeah, huh? Come on. We're going to have some surprises in heaven. We're going to see some beautiful daughters that didn't have it worked out here. But they have a place on the Father's heart. And it so happens that there's one in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Come on, Lord. It also mentions Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, and Samuel, and the prophets. It says that through faith, they conquered kingdoms, they performed acts of righteousness, they obtained promises, they shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the power of fire, they escaped the edge of the sword from weaknesses. They were made strong, they became mighty in war, and they put foreign armies to flight. You know, in 1 Samuel 17, David, it tells the story of David going up against a giant. And he comes before a giant, and he's a little 12-year-old boy. And everything in the natural says, a 12-year-old boy and a giant, oh my goodness, we know how that's going to go, right? But that's the power of faith and the power of having so much faith that when you open your mouth like Jesus and you say, hey, this is what I'm going to do to you, and this is what David said. He did not waver in his faith. He stood firm in his faith and he said this. You come against me with sword and spear and a javelin, but I have come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give your carcasses to the Philistine army and to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth. He stands before a giant that just looking at the actual situation, he could be pulled apart limb by limb, and he says this, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of the Lord Almighty. I am going to cut off your head, and I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air. What a brave statement to make. Now, you better believe that when you say that, there's God backing you up. But he just believed that. He didn't just make an idle statement. He believed that when that word left his mouth, there's power behind it. And guess what happened? What he declared in faith is what actually happened. How are you impacting the kingdom through faith? What is God writing about you? Because all these great people have been written about. By faith, they did this. They conquered armies, kingdoms, by faith. God is writing stories about each and every one of you. And how you are transforming this earth to be more like heaven by faith. What is God writing about you? What's your story? What's your story? What is God writing about you? Are you conquering kingdoms? Are you bringing the kingdom? What is God writing about you? We're going to make a declaration, and I want us all to stand. We're going to make several declarations. God is writing your story. And as He writes your story, we are going to make a declaration about who we are. And it comes right out of Hebrews 11. And I'm going to say it, and we are going to repeat it by faith. And we're going to say it like you mean it. Say it like you actually know that there is a God of faith backing you up as you declare this. The first one is this. I will conquer kingdoms. We're going to say that again. We're going to say that again. I will conquer kingdoms. I will perform acts of righteousness. I will obtain my promises. I will shut the mouths of lions. I will quench the power of fire. I will escape the edge of the sword. My weaknesses will be turned into strength. I am powerful in battle. And I will put foreign armies to flight. Amen. You may sit down. How many of you believe what you just said? Amen. Amen. Because you just made a declaration, and creation loves that. The Bible also says that creation is waiting for the sons and daughters of God to rise up. Creation is waiting for you to begin to be like the created one. He's waiting for you to rise up to be who you are. Creation is waiting. It's like, come on! I am waiting to do this. I'm waiting for you to open your mouth. I'm waiting for you to be. Creation is waiting for you. You are stopping creation. It's waiting for you to be who God created you to be. Creation is waiting for you to open your mouth and to make a declaration and to go forward. Creation is waiting for you to tell it what to do. Let there be light. Creation is waiting for you to say, be healed in Jesus' name. Creation is waiting for you to open your mouth and to partner with God. Creation is waiting for you. By faith. How much faith? As teeny, tiny, teeny, tiny, smaller than the head of a pin, mustard seed. You have that much faith, you can say to that mountain, be moved and cast yourself into the sea. And it has to do it. In Hebrews 12:2, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Or in another translation, it says, the author and finisher of faith. Jesus begins our faith and He finishes our faith. We cannot have faith apart from Jesus Christ. In Romans 4, 3-6, it says this. What does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not credited as a gift, but as obligation. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks. In Psalm 103, David says he is commanding his mind, his emotions, his spirit, and he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my sins, who heals all my diseases. He didn't say some. He said all. He didn't say, who forgives some of my sins and who heals some of my diseases? Who forgives all of my sins? Who heals all my diseases? Well, that word there is an absolute, and a lot of Christians have a problem with that all. Because what? Why? We haven't seen all. So instead of simply believing God, we go, well, that can be true. That can be true. What's God's heart? He wants to see all come to repentance and all in the kingdom. Has that happened? No. But we're on the way to seeing all that Jesus paid for. That is absolutely correct. That's the heart of God. All our bodies healed, all our sins forgiven. Why? Because we had to be worth something to the Lord. If we weren't worth something to Him, Jesus would not go to the cross. He cannot go to the cross for worthlessness. He went to the cross fully knowing that you're worth everything. Romans 4:19-21. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promises of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. And this is the punchline. Being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. Being fully persuaded that God has the power to do what he has promised. How many of us are fully persuaded by God? How many of us will be fully persuaded being met with a situation like Abraham and Sarah today? Can you imagine that? Headline news. 90-year-old woman is pregnant. I actually believe they would have put it down as a miracle. I really do. Because it is impossible. And that's the greatness of God. Nothing is impossible for God. It would actually be put down as a miracle. Scientists and doctors would have to say, this is physically impossible. But because it's happening and because it's happened, we have to say this is a miracle. I would love to see that happen. Uh-oh. I'm so sorry. Where is Abraham? Is he at home, Sarah? You don't have a promise of a child, do you? If you do, watch out. Wouldn't that be awesome? But what faith for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman? In Luke 1:45, it says, blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of the things told to her by the Lord. Because they believed, there has to be a fulfillment. Blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of the things told to her by the Lord. How simple. I'm 90-year-old, God, but I still believe. I still have faith because you said we will have a promise of a son. So we wait for that promise. What did God do to a 90-year-old that transformed her so much that she carried a child and gave birth in a time of day where there were no doctors, where they gave birth at home, where anything could have gone wrong, but nothing did. Everything was perfect. Because why? God said so. He declared it. He made the promise. He gave the word. And Isaiah 55, I think it is, either 55 or 54, it says this, the word of the Lord will accomplish the purpose for which it was sent. When God speaks, it has to happen. When you speak, creation should respond. It's the power of faith. I am going to declare it. I am going to partner with God to see the manifestation of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You know, faith is easy. It's really easy. It's pretty simple. You don't have to do anything. There's nothing could be more simple. Because if you have to do something, it won't be called grace. It's a free gift. It's pretty simple. How simple it is, I'll show you. Zacchaeus was so small. Praise the Lord. I have my phone set for 11:11. So it's 11:11. Every time I keep seeing double numbers, 11:11, 12:12, 13:13, 3:33, 4:44, 5:55, all of these numbers. And the Lord spoke to me about 11:11. So I set my phone. So every time it's 11:11, I pray. Where was I? Zacchaeus was a small man. What was his faith? He needed to see Jesus. So what did he do? He climbed a tree. That was all the faith that he needed. He just climbed a tree. That's how simple it is. The woman with the issue of blood, she had to do something. She came out of her house. She risked her life. How is it that for her that had gone to so many doctors, how is it that for her that been told she'd spent everything she had, she was an absolute, nobody wanted to see her. She was known for what she was suffering. She was a recluse. But she came out of her house. Nobody saw her. Nobody told her to touch the hem of the garment of Jesus. Nobody told her. She just believed. This man is healing people. He is the Son of God. He's going through my town. I will not miss my moment today. And she risked all. She goes, he doesn't have to lay hands on me. All I have to do is to just reach through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment. And I will be healed. That was all the faith it took. And she came with such faith, such belief, such expectation that God is going to do something. Expectation. The kingdom of God is attracted to expectation. Such expectation that when she put her hand through the crowd, creation had to respond. Power went out of Jesus as she touched the hem of his garment. Many people touched him that day. But why did he feel power go through him, go out of him when she touched him? She came with such expectation. She pulled. She pulled on him. I love the fact that Pastor Bill Johnson says, he says, if God's not moving, make God move. How many of you are ready to make God move? You know how you make God move? You jump in the deep end. You jump in the deep end and you will see God move. But if you want to be in the shallow all the time where your feet is always touching the ground, oh, it's easy. Be in the safe side, oh, yeah. You want to see God move? You get out of your house like the woman with the issue of blood. You risk all. You stick your hand through the crowd and you touch the hem of his garment and you watch God move. Because I tell you what, when you risk, the kingdom will always back you up. You cannot risk for God and he turns his back. It would go out of his very nature. It would go against his nature as a good dad. It will go against his nature that he is Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals you. It will go against his nature as a good father. And he's a good dad. It would go against his word. And he doesn't lie. You want to see God move? Jump in the deep end. Effort is still required. effort is still required. Okay, I'm just going to skip a whole bunch of stuff. So what happens? I'm going to base this a little bit on healing. We have Auntie Margaret. Auntie Margaret's been diagnosed with cancer. And we pray, and we pray, and Auntie Margaret dies. Suddenly, we have a theological mindset that we have come up with that says we prayed and nothing happened. So, God is not healing people. Or, we've been praying for 20 years and we haven't seen anything happen. Well, we've based the kingdom, we've based the word of the Lord on experience. Don't let experience be your teacher. So suddenly we have this experience, well, I did this and I didn't see this. So now we go to pray for people with a mindset of lack. So in there we're thinking, well, I'm just going to pray just so they know that I turned up, but nothing's going to happen. So we go with the last defeat. I was defeated here, so I'm obviously going to be defeated right here anyways, but I'm just going to show up and pray just so they know that I came, and maybe they might think that I have faith and I believe. The heart with which you go to do that is also seen. He's not looking for better people. He's looking for ones that say yes and just simply believe. Just simply believe. So we pray and we pray and we see nothing. Or we pray for Auntie Martha and Auntie Martha dies. So we come up with a, like the disciples, I think it's in Mark. And they're walking through a town and they see a blind man and they ask Jesus, Jesus, who sinned that this man is blind? Him or his parents? Who sinned that he's blind? So they have come up with a theological thing that he's blind because of something he did wrong. And we have that mindset in the church. They have this because they did this. And Jesus said, no. But that the works of the Lord may be made manifest in his life. Neither sinned. He didn't do anything. His parents did nothing. But also the Bible says that the sins of the father doesn't come down onto the children. But they just came up with a reason. And Jesus had to rebuke them and correct them. And we've been very good at that. In our powerlessness, we've come up with ways of thinking that could answer why we did this and it didn't happen. It's powerlessness. Well, I prayed, I didn't see anything, so I'm just going to tell them that they have unforgiveness, that's why they're not healed. I'm just going to tell them that they have bitterness, that's why they're not healed. When you go and fast for 21 days and you sort yourself out, God will heal you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. If somebody has unforgiveness, does it actually stop them from getting healed? Does it stop you? It doesn't stop you from getting them healed. The disciples had all kinds of dysfunction. Oh, they were a dysfunctional bunch. But Jesus met them on the way. He said, put down your nets and follow me. He didn't say, when you've had a sozo, when you've had 40 days of fasting, and you've dealt with your crap, then you can follow me. He said, put down your nets and follow me. They put down their nets, they followed him, they saw the kingdom, and they changed. They saw the kingdom, and they changed. When we pray for people and they get healed, he says, the kingdom of God has surely come upon you. That's when change happens, when they see the goodness of God. We are not limited. Jesus was never limited when he prayed for people. He never went anywhere and says, oh, you have unforgiveness, next. You have bitterness? No. Next. Oh, no. I saw what you did yesterday. You just stand aside. Next. Oh, I'm not praying for any of this lot. They all have crap. As they were. When did healing take place? When they came. It says all that came. Nobody was disqualified on account of what they were struggling with. What was wrong in their family. No one was disqualified. He healed them all. And he never put anything on anybody. About 18 months ago, I had problems with my knees. I used to run a lot. I used to run about 60 miles a week. Naughty. And my knees actually naturally began to hurt. And I asked somebody in the healing rooms of Bethel to pray for me. And this lady comes, and she puts her hands on my knees, and she goes to me, you know, people that have problems with their knees, they just have self-hatred. Well, I was so glad she said it to me. And not to a guest, because at Bethel, we have thousands of guests that come every year. Into the healing rooms in one day, we can pray for up to 600 people in a three-hour period. We have the largest healing rooms in the world. We have 946 volunteers. She could have said that to anyone. She said it to me. So I was like, stop right there. Thank you very much. I said, I beg your pardon. That's not what we teach you here. That's not what we teach you here. And you know nothing about me, because if you knew me, you will know that I love me. So we had to correct that stinking thinking. Little did she know that I'd been running for most of my life. And my knees hurt because I was running 60 miles a week. Not because I hated who I am or I hated myself. And this is how people can be in powerlessness. So she came with that mindset of self-hate, that I have self-hate. So I wasn't going to let her lay hands on me. So I didn't get her to pray. Her powerlessness is that when she prayed, she would not see anything happen. So she had to tell me it was my fault. How many times have we done that? We look cool. Let's just look for the roots to where this goes back to. And we start searching 10 generations. You're a new creation. Brand spanking new creation. Last time I checked. A brand new creation. Jesus never did that. If he did, please show me, because I obviously have missed that. And I'm not saying that people don't have inner healing issues and things that go back to the root. But we don't go digging to find stuff in order to get somebody healed. A few facts and a few truths. The fact can be that somebody is sick and they need healing, but the truth is that Jesus is the healer. That's faith right there. Jesus is the healer. And if you attach your mustard seed of faith to Jesus, you will see great things. It says that the works that Jesus did, if they were to write it in books, it would go all around the world many times. And we only read a little teeny tiny bit in the Bible. But it also says this, that greater works will we do. Greater works will we do. Greater works will we do. I don't know about you, but I want history to write about me. Greater works will I do. And I say that with every ounce of belief in me. That I'm going to change the world. How about you? It doesn't matter where you are. You could be living in Auckland, in London, in New York, in Wayuku. God is not blind. He sees you. He wants to use each and every one of you. So history can be written. It says, greater works did you do? So you cannot talk about faith and not add my faith to it. And I'm really excited because I can't heal you even if I tried. But I know somebody that can. And he's my friend. But before I do that, I want to do this. So let's stand. I'm going to pray. I'm going to release an impartation, the gift of supernatural faith. Put your hand on your heart. Because I want to pray for the mind to be transformed. We don't want head knowledge. We want heart knowledge. Because if it stays here, we'll always be thinking logical things and we can work ourselves out of it by thinking. We want things to grip our hearts. We want them to resonate, to rest, to go deep, to go really, really deep. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for the gift of supernatural faith. For everyone who here that is doubting that you are who you say you are, Father, we ask that the gift of supernatural faith be released to them. I release it this morning, that they would walk in faith as small as a mustard seed, that they would conquer kingdoms, they would shut the mouths of lions, they would put foreign armies to flight, that they will be strong in their weakness, Father. Turn their thinking around right now, Lord, and release the gift of supernatural faith. That when they speak something, they speak it because they know that there is a Father in heaven who totally backs them. Who totally backs them. I just release and impart to you supernatural faith. That nothing will be impossible for you because we serve a God that does impossible things. A God that could cause a 90-year-old woman to give birth. That same God is healing today. That would see a giant in front of you and you can declare that I will kill you, I will cut off your head, and I will fill your carcasses to the army and to the birds of the air. That's the declaration of faith. That you will be strong in the faith of Jesus Christ to make a declaration of anything that stands in front of you. That you will believe because you don't see, but even stronger in your faith, trusting in Jesus Christ in the things that you don't yet see, partnering with creation to see the manifestation of the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for supernatural faith, and I ask you to go deep, even when they leave here this morning, Lord, that you will go so deep in their hearts that they will get it, not in their head, but in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get my team up and we're going to get some people healed. So you can have a seat. We're going to call out a few words. And if they call out a word of something that's wrong, guys, come up here. There's something that you're struggling with, if you need healing in your body, and they call out the word, please stand up and we're going to pray and we're going to see God heal people. It's that simple. Right? Okay. Angie, do you want to start?
Awesome. Anything that has to do with foot or ankles?
Problems with your ankles or your feet?
Any wrist or arm issues?
Problems with your wrist or your arm?
Neck and sort of shoulder caused through RSI, a part of it, overuse.
Problems with your shoulders, your neck and your spine. I'll go far down and say it's your spine. You have problems with your rotator cuffs, all of that. Shoulder, neck and spine. And also if you have problems with your lower back, you have issues with your back and your spine, going down to your coccyx right here.
Maybe stomach issues, like ulcers, something to do with the stomach. Yeah, and I keep getting a date as well, the 13th of the 8th, 87. So if that means something.
The 13th of August, 1987. Does that mean anything to anybody? Okay, don't come afterward and say, that was me, I was just a bit shy to stand up. We get that a lot. The thing is, she stood and she risked for you by saying, the best you could do to honor her is to stand up and to say, it's me. We get that a lot, and then people come up in the end and say, I'm sorry, I was just shy. We celebrate risk and not performance. If you have any issues with, you've been given a bad report, that you have something that's terminal, would you stand? Anything to do with like cancer? Anything like that? Diabetes? Anybody with diabetes? Arthritis? Anybody here suffer a lot of migraine headaches? Sometimes it goes on and off? Awesome.
Tinnitus, which is that ringing in the ears.
Oh, yeah. If you have problems with your hearing. Yeah. Yeah.
This one is for the ladies. Like, I'd just say lady plumbing problems.
Awesome. And I'm going to add to that. It's for lady or ladies. If you want to have a child, don't be shy. It's your moment. If you want to have a child, stand up. And if you've been trying for a while and it hasn't happened, God is well and able. Yes, injury.
Good. An injury from a car accident, maybe right foot.
Any injuries from a car accident, if you have suffered the effects of whiplash or any of that stuff, kind of pain in your body in any way. Awesome.
Any more?
Okay, perfect. Righty. So, please smile. Jesus loves you. It's not that bad. This is the fact, but the truth is Jesus is the healer. And he's going to heal today. So we want you to risk with us. So those that are standing up, would you just put one hand up? And those that are sitting down, I want you to get out of your seat and find somebody with their hand up and stand next to them. Husbands and wife would like you to separate. Don't pray for your wife or your husband. If you're sitting down, find somebody with their hand up and just go stand next to them and put their hand down. Don't pray for your husband or your wife. Yes, you guys go too. Yeah. If you have somebody standing with you, pull their hand down. Okay, for those that are left, if you have your hand up, turn around and look behind you and find somebody with their hand up and partner with them. Does that make sense? If you have your hand up, get out of your seat. Find somebody else with their hand up and partner with them. Husbands and wives, don't pray for each other. Find somebody else with their hand up and partner with them. And once you get somebody, put your hand down. Okay, there's a lady here with her hand up still. If you turn around, find somebody with their hand up and partner with them. Anybody else with their hand up? There's a guy just over here. Have you got somebody? Is that a lady just there? Has she got someone? No, there's a lady here. Awesome. Has everybody got somebody? Wonderful. Awesome. So I'm just going to give you a quick crash course. Okay? This is the thing about healing. It has nothing to do with you. but it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. And I'll say this. To beg God for healing is to say that we have more mercy than he does. We don't. Because the one you're about to pray for is a son or daughter of the king. And he loves them way more than you, that he died on the cross for them. The next thing is this. We don't pray hard for healing. The role model is Jesus Christ. And how did he pray? Be healed. Go. He used his mouth and he commanded. He didn't go away and come back. He didn't close his eyes and speak in tongues for 10 minutes. It's not about how smart your prayer is. It's not about how long your prayer is. The gospel is simple. We need to bring the simplicity of the gospel back into the church and take the hardness out. So it's going to be simple. If you're expecting long prayer, you're going to be disappointed today. And if you're praying, I want you to keep your eye open and look at the person that's in front of you. Don't close your eyes. Open your eye and look at them. Okay? Is that okay? And when you pray and you finish praying, if it's something that's testable, get them to test it out. In faith, just test it out. If your hand was coming out, you just say, thank you, Jesus. I'm just going to lift my hand up to see how far I can go. Just do it by faith. Everything is by faith. By faith. That's all it takes. And don't be afraid. When you open your mouth and you pray, don't be afraid. Heaven is backing you. There's a Father sitting in heaven right at this moment that's excited for what's about to happen in this room. Be excited with him. If you're receiving prayer, be expectant that your brother or your sister that's praying for you is partnering with the kingdom for your breakthrough. Be expectant. It is that simple. We cannot pray and God not hear. It is impossible for us to pray and God not hear. So turn to the person. Most of you probably already know each other because this is your church. Ask them their name. There you go. I see people shaking hands. That's awesome. Awesome. So we all know who we're praying for now, right? We have a name. That's wonderful. This is the next thing that we're going to do. The next thing we're going to do is ask them what they need prayer for. Hang on. If you're receiving prayer, this is not your opportunity to give them your medical history. You can say, I need a new arm. I have back pain. Oh, I have arthritis. Whatever it is, just say, I need prayer for this. I need prayer for this. Don't give them your medical history. Don't tell them what happened 20 years ago or 5 years ago. Don't give them background. Just tell them, I have this and I need prayer for it. Does that make sense? Okay, let's do that. Okay, I think that should be enough. We all know what we're praying for. Okay. Shh. We all know what we're praying for. Is that right? Awesome. So this is how we're going to pray. I command back pain to leave your body right now in Jesus' name. Wait. Deaf ears be open. Arthritis be healed. I bless your body to step into peace. I command pain right now to leave your body. Simple. Blind eyes, be open. Simple. Very simple. Pain, right now I say go. Command, use your mouth, speak life. I release over you resurrection life. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. Because there is no greater power. That's what you carry. That's what's in you. The power that raised Jesus from the dead. You're releasing. I release over you the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now test it out. That's how we pray. So go. Pray. Simple as that. Keep your eyes open. We're not praying hard. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we just release your healing grace in this room. We release your power. We release the power that is Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father. We release your grace to heal the sick. Thank you that you are good all the time. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that heals. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness, for your kindness, and for all that you've done today. We bless you. We release your power and your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Now, if you've received prayer, try things out. Remember expectation. Try things out. Try your neck out. Move your back. Try your shoulder. Come on. Faith needs an action. I want to see people doing this. Shake it, move. And if you experience breakthrough, just put your hand up. I want to see one hand up. You experience breakthrough? Thank you, Jesus, over here. Anybody else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. And if the person needs prayer again, if nothing has happened, pray again. But we're not praying any harder than we did the first time. It's not like, oh, it didn't work. Let's pray again. Ah. As simple as you did the first time, pray again. Thank you, Father. Jehovah Rapha, release you, release your power and your presence. Over pain, we command pain to be healed. We command arthritis to leave people's bodies. We bless the blood and we say to diabetes, be healed in Jesus' name. We command pain in ankles and shoulders and backs to be healed right now. Thank you, Father. We release your goodness in this room. We command deaf ears to be open. We say crystal clear hearing. Thank you, Jesus. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay. So just where you're at, can you just sit down for a minute? Just where you're at. If you're 80% to 100% healed, would you stand up? Would you stand up? Okay. Are those people, are they praying for somebody in the back? Because I can't see. Are they praying for somebody? Awesome. Okay. Look at the people standing up. And we say thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Who's standing up for one of the words that was given? Would you like to share what's happened for you? Mhm. Mhm. And the pain's gone? It feels a lot better. Leslie, 100%. Pray for her, 100%. Would you like to say what?
Lower back pain.
Is it still there? Is it a little bit? Okay. Elishiva, 100%. Yes, so what happened for you? Ringing in the ear? What's happened? It's gone. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Arthritis in the neck and in the back. And what's happened? It's much, much better. Is it 100% better? Angie, 100%. Jesus paid 100%. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you, God. And we ask for 100%. 100%. Yes, sir, would you like to share? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's moving much freer. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, and we just command your blood pressure to go down. Down to normal levels in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that you are the healer. All arthritic pain in your body, I say that you're illegal, and I command you out of his body in the name of Jesus. I release the power and the presence of God to touch your body. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 100%? Thank you, Jesus. 100%? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would one of you in the back love to share? Would you like to share, sir? It feels good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? Are you standing as well? Yes. Would you want to share? Come on. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Are you two standing also? No? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. This is how simple it is. This is how simple it is. The person sitting next to you has your breakthrough. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to line up for the pastors in the front. It doesn't have to be Amanda or Lloyd that prays for your healing. It's the person sitting right next to you. They are your answer. Something is wrong. Say, hey, I have this. Would you pray? This is what's wrong. Would you pray? That's how simple it is. And we will begin to see so much more of the body of Christ healed and people living fully in their destiny. Let's just stand up and just give Jesus a thank you. Imagine the All Blacks just won the World Cup. Father, we thank you that you were good. You are who you say you are. We thank you for the people that have been touched this morning. And Lord, even for the ones that haven't been healed, Lord, we just trust you that as they go, that they're going to see huge, massive difference in their bodies. That even some of them, they're going to realize that the arthritis is gone, or the diabetes has been healed, or the pain in their back is just completely gone as they leave here. So, Father, we thank you that you do not start and then you never finish. You always finish what you start. So we give you all the glory and all the praise. We thank you. We thank you that you are the same yesterday and today and forever, that you will never change. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.